here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello. Today is Friday, January 6th, and it's frigid.
Oh, it's
in Chicago.
Really cold. Yeah, it's cold all over America. I love.
Yeah, when just like a cold apocalypse all in the United States. So when I got off the bus this morning and I was walking down Adams Street in Chicago, there's like this big like sign with the temperature, and it says negative. It said negative 12 degrees, and I was like, wait, what? I think that was just with the wind chill.
Oh, okay, cool.
But it was like 8:40 something this morning.
Oh, man.
And it was normal, maybe 10 degrees.
I need earmuffs, I decided.
That's what I need too. Definitely.
Not to put you on blast, I did notice you almost for a second stumble on the fact that it is January. This is our first
January.
Episode.
Yes.
Our first
episode. You put me on blast.
Our first episode of the new year. I'm excited.
The best week I've had in a while. Thanks, Ryan.
Hey, no offense. I mean,
it's January.
It's like in elementary school when you have to write out the dates and it takes you 3 months.
I keep messing up writing 2017 in my articles.
Oh, yeah. I've already. But it's a new year and we're back. I had
a good
holiday break. Did you enjoy yourself over the holidays?
I did. It was relaxing.
Wonderful.
For the most part.
Wonderful. Well, it has not been an entirely relaxing week in the stock market. Our main story this week is going to be the absolute chaos that we've seen in the retail sector this week, including Amazon, who's making these weird moves into the fashion business, and then kind of Amazon also officially nail in the coffin a verb, but we're going with it.
Man, you also did it.
I did. You can't see it. They can't see me doing that.
Our listeners can't see it, but Ryan...
I'm physically nailing the coffin for Amazon.
He acted it out.
They put that nail in the coffin, the final nail in the coffin, it seems like, for the traditional retail world, and we know that because of just the Aunt Macy's and Kohl's.
I mean, I will never believe that because I'm a retail believer till the very end. But
and we will talk about all of that later. Oh, we also had some news from Sears this week. They're trying to desperately stop the bleeding. Macy's and Kohl's not living up to expectations, holiday sales wise. And we will get to all of that. But up first, we have a little bit of positive, much needed positive news from one of my favorite companies, and that is Chipotle Mexican Grill.
Yes, Chipotle. Quick anecdote about Chipotle. Last week, I wanted Chipotle so badly. I was coming home from, I was down on Michigan Avenue, hopped on the bus. I wanted Chipotle. It was like late in the afternoon. I hadn't eaten lunch yet. I opened up Postmates. I had ordered delivery. Uh-huh. Guess I wanted it so bad. I paid like a $7 delivery charge. Ooh. For my $8 chicken burrito.
Oh.
So the whole, like, it was like, ended up costing me like $17.
Oh, yeah.
For just like my typical.
Worth every dollar.
Oh, it was so good. I ate every single bite. Totally worth it. It was very good. I hadn't had Chipotle in a very long time.
Beautiful. I haven't had it in 2 days, which is, that's a long time. So,
all right. But yes, good news for Chipotle. So Chipotle gained around 2.7% on Thursday in afternoon trading after the stock was upgraded by Wedbush. So Wedbush analyst Nick Setyan, I think that's how you pronounce his last name.
Apologies if we don't.
Apologies,
get that right.
Yes.
Sorry, Nick.
He lifted his rating to a neutral from an underperform, and he also boosted his price target from 400 from 370. He believes that Chipotle hasn't experienced the post-election rally that has hashtag blessed other stocks in the restaurant industry.
Oh,
Setyan also cited, quote, a post Q3 downward revision of 2017 street expectations below our estimates, unquote, and to focus on improving margins. And just a little fun fact, over the past 1 year, Chipotle is down almost 15%. So it looks like things might be on the upside, especially if that turnaround plan that CEO Steve Ells puts in place helps boost sales, kind of customer perception a little bit, mm-hmm. you know?
I think that the easiest way to tell that investors are ready or wanting to help Chipotle with this turnaround and maybe start getting some positive momentum for Chipotle is the fact that it's gaining around 3% from what is not a super premier analyst firm. It's not the Goldman Sachs of the world.
Yeah.
And it's also not like the biggest cosign of Chipotle ever. It's just, it's going to neutral and it's a slight price target upgrade. But hey, Chipotle's been struggling for long enough that these little things are going
they're
to
big
be,
news. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. So I
but
agree.
News on the car front, the automaker.
Yeah, so we've got news in the domestic auto industry, which I like to stress that because we're going to start with talking with Tesla. And people, I think, forget that that is an American car company. One of the
all American.
I know. And so we'll start with Tesla. We're also going to talk about Ford, which is that you think that all American car company, that old school, traditional Detroit auto manufacturer. But Tesla is a domestic manufacturer, too. So not great news from Tesla this week. They released their Q4 and full year vehicle delivery numbers. So it delivered about 22,200 vehicles in the fourth quarter, which brought its 2016 total to 76,230. That missed estimates. The full year estimate was 79,000 on the dot, so a few hundred below that. And unfortunately, that number that it missed was actually had already been previously reduced earlier in the year. So in February, Tesla had guided for 80,000 to 90,000. That was later adjusted down to that 79,000. It came as a bit of a surprise because Tesla affirmed that guidance in October. So it was kind of late in the year difficulties that ended up making the company miss that vehicle delivery goal. The automaker said that, quote, short-term production challenges, end quote, were to blame for the shortage. I think they cited the transition to new autopilot hardware and a couple of shipping challenges. They had several thousand cars en route to customers at the end of the fourth quarter, just weren't able to count those as deliveries yet. So Tesla was down a little bit in after hours trading on Tuesday because of that. Not the end of the world, but you know, we always talk about Elon Musk setting these expectations. He's got rather lofty goals for the next few years for the company. And oftentimes they don't reach those lofty goals. So not the end of the world, as I said, but an interesting note from Tesla. Probably the biggest story, though, in the auto industry for a little while now is this news from Ford Motor Company this week. Shares jumped about 2.5% in early morning trading on Tuesday following the announcement that Ford is canceling its plans to build a new manufacturing plant in Mexico and instead will invest $700 million in its home state of Michigan. That $700 million is going to an existing plant in Flat Rock, Michigan. It's going to be for focusing on self-driving cars and electric cars, and they are expected to create 700 new United States-based jobs. That new Mexican plant, if you remember, we talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
That new Mexico plant was supposed to be for the Ford Focus, I believe. They were going to shift production of the Ford Focus down to that new Mexican plant. They're actually still sending production of the Focus down to Mexico. It's just going to a different existing plant.
Gotcha.
And then the new investment from Flat Rock is going to be, in Flat Rock is going to be for autonomous vehicles and electric vehicles, which Ford has a relatively strong slate of electric cars coming up, including a hybrid Mustang that I know a lot of the more sports car and interested people are excited about. So it's cool to see Ford doubling down on those two new technologies, but it's probably more important that this is kind of a vote of confidence in the U.S. economy. It was originally getting pitched as a vote of confidence in President-elect Donald Trump's kind of proposed pro-business environment. I think the original story was announced in an interview with CNN And that was kind of how they spun things. Later, four executives came back out and were like, well, you know, we didn't actually really say it that way. It's more of a thumbs up to the state of the economy. Market demands were calling for this. But there's definitely has to be something there with the campaign rhetoric of Trump and trying to help out manufacturing specifically. So although it's interesting because Ford and Trump have specifically clashed, butted heads over the last several months because Trump was highlighting this move to Mexico, this move of the Ford Focus to Mexico as one of the moves out of the country that he's so against.
Mm-hmm.
Ford was quick to clarify that they weren't actually cutting any American jobs. What's better than not cutting American jobs is creating new American jobs. So 700 exactly. new U.S. jobs coming to Michigan, and that should be good news for everybody, I think.
Definitely.
So let's talk about another Trump-related. We've been doing last several months lots of Trump-related things. It's the biggest story in the world right now. So let's talk about ExxonMobil and Rex Tillerson.
Yes, I love
the next Secretary of State and what's going to happen there.
Oil giant ExxonMobil and Rex Tillerson have agreed to cut all ties and comply with conflict of interest requirements as the former chairman and CEO awaits confirmation as Secretary of State. So the retirement deal was reached with Exxon's board of directors and is worth about $180 million. So if Tillerson is confirmed as Secretary of State, the value of over 2 million deferred XOM shares that he would have received over the next decade would be placed in an independently managed trust account. Tillerson would also have to surrender entitlement, quote-unquote, to over $4.1 million in cash bonuses scheduled to pay out over the course of the next 3 years. So, in other words, he would be giving up a lot to become mm-hmm. Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
The former CEO has also committed to the State Department, separate to the deal with Exxon, to sell more than 600,000 shares in ExxonMobil that he currently owns if he is confirmed for the role, and to not work in the oil and gas industry for the next 10 years,
mm-hmm.
I guess, when he's done being Secretary of State.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of wow. Retirement deal worth $180 million. Tillerson, we know as one of the highest paid executives in the country mm-hmm. already, so he's going to be good.
He's going to be just fine.
He's getting a slight salary pay cut to take the Secretary of State job, but I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Interesting. We've been talking a lot about conflict of interest more so than I've ever heard in a presidential transition because of the business interests of everyone involved. So it's interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah.
Okay, so as we teased earlier, retail, we're going to start with this Amazon getting into the fashion industry, the clothing industry,
because
I know you want to talk about it and you are my go-to fashion person. So
thank you.
I wear plaid shirts and stuff like that, flannels. I'm not big into fashion, but it's interesting. So story broke on Thursday that Amazon was among those interested in buying the now bankrupt retailer American Apparel.
Yes.
They're also going to be joined by Forever 21 in a bankruptcy auction that is coming up soon. We also saw some news this week that Amazon has been kind of behind the scenes developing its own in-house clothing lines. Apparently, they developed suits and dresses and shoes, and now they're maybe moving on to yoga pants and running tights and like athletic wear and stuff. Why? Do you think? And good idea, bad idea.
Yeah, so the American Apparel thing, bankruptcy auction, I think in my humble opinion, Forever 21 would be much better suited for this little venture.
Seems to go together.
They seem to go together a little bit more.
Naturally.
Yes.
Side note, Forever 21, mostly seen by a young demographic as women's retailer. I actually own a beanie from Forever 21.
They have a lot of men's products. Yes.
Interesting men's section. I recommend it.
Yeah. So
that's my two cents.
So both companies sell
clothes.
Clothes. Cheap, trendy. I like to call them throwaway clothes a little bit
okay.
that like teenagers, young adults, college students will tend to wear until they have like holes in them. Uh-huh. Like they kind of just like wear and wear and wear until they can't wear them anymore. And then they throw them away and then they buy more.
Okay, cool. Emphasis on trendy too.
Trendy. They're like very trendy.
It's cheap, but they're like going after these kind of like urban type of like trends.
Yeah. And Forever 21 is, the price is cheap enough that you can afford more or less to throw them away and just go buy more of them.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, Amazon, they have, yes, they have like their in-house brands, but...
Uh-huh. But it's like, so example of an in-house brand for those of you who might not be shopping on Amazon all the time. I just recently purchased for my father for Christmas something from Amazon Basics, which is their kind of like necessary types of like, it was a organizer. It was like a dop kit organizer for the bathroom that also hangs in his shower. So my dad travels a lot and needs to like, so that was Amazon Basics branded.
Yeah.
It was cheap. It's not like fashion.
Yeah, they have a ton of, I think they might have like 5 to 10 like separate in-house brands that like vary between clothes and home products and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But trendy yoga pants, not so
but
much.
With the yoga pants is where I draw the line. I think it's utterly absurd. And the fact that so many... publications are like believe that Lululemon and Nike and Under Armour and Gap's Athleta like need to worry about this. I find ridiculous because they don't. Because Lululemon has such a strong brand loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Like their consumers will not go to Amazon to buy yoga pants. They just won't. Same with, I mean, and then like Nike and Under Armour. So their products are for like intense workout training. And Lululemon Athleta.
They're kind of like.
They're yoga. They're like the athleisure. You're going to buy like their
making
pants.
Making a statement.
They're to and from. Like you're going to like wear their pants to yoga and then also wear them to brunch. Like it's very versatile.
Okay. Cool.
Also with Amazon is because it's an online store. And not brick and mortar is you can't feel them. And that's all about leggings is how they feel and how you feel when you put them on.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spend, like at Lululemon, when you spend $98 on a pair of leggings, you want them to feel really good.
Yeah. If I'm spending $98 on anything, I want it to feel good.
So with Amazon, even though free two-day shipping, great. But it's... I just find it so absurd.
Yeah.
And I think that Amazon should stick to what they do best.
Yeah.
Which is electronics and home stuff.
Are you listening, Jeff Bezos?
And food.
Uh-huh.
And just not yoga pants.
Okay.
I just find it really stupid. And this is someone who buys and will pay $80 for a pair of yoga pants. And I just don't think they should.
Here's my quick take on it. I can see the anger in your face. You are upset. You really think this isn't a good idea.
I don't disagree with you.
I'm a little bit less heated about it just because I'm not like, I don't buy yoga pants. This isn't, doesn't matter to me.
Lululemon sells men's products. I'm just saying you would love them.
Interesting. Okay, cool. I was actually recently just having a conversation with someone about how I should start doing yoga, but that's a side note.
You don't have to wear them for yoga.
So here's my thing with this. I get what you're saying. I agree for the most part. I certainly agree that Lululemon's and Nike's like premier athletic wear stuff is on a completely other tier of quality that like... There certainly shouldn't be worried about Amazon coming into this kind of like low level of it, which is clearly going to be like a cheaper option. And cheaper also means less good normally in the clothing world. Here's my thing, and we're going to kind of, I'm hoping this transitions us to the next topic pretty well, is that Amazon has done so few things that haven't worked, and they've been successful. They've gotten into, same day and next day grocery delivery, which seemed pretty crazy at the time, and that worked out. The Amazon Echo has now everyone has one of these like automated speaker things in their house now, and everyone thinks it's so cool, and no one was doing it before Amazon decided to do it, and that worked out. And, they made e-readers cool a few years ago. Off the top of my head, the only thing I can think of that really didn't work, that fell flat, was their mobile phones. They discontinued the production of those. But, you know, and as we're seeing from the sales numbers of places like Macy's and Kohl's, which we'll talk about in a second, it really does seem like Amazon is able to and currently just taking everyone's business and basically taking over the world. That seems dramatic, but if they're going to start selling clothes, like, why do I ever need to go to another actual store other than to feel things, which I there's something there that the part of that experience is real and won't ever go away. But, you know, we've been saying that for so long, and every new thing Amazon tries to do is like, oh, you know, there's these Amazon proof sectors. People want to go into a store for certain things. But like, slowly but surely, that list of things that you can't Amazon is dwindling. And so I want to get into Kohl's and Macy's now, because I think that's...
Okay, but I still have two more points to make. So the athleisure, like, it's now it's like a verifiable industry.
Also, can you just say that word one more time?
Athleisure.
Okay. And okay. That's a leisure athletics combined.
Yes, it's athleisure. Okay, it's cool. Not athleisure. I mean, I guess it's both, but okay. I like saying athleisure.
I like it. It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's already oversaturated with so many brands that the product is becoming less and less. I mean, not less and less. It is becoming less desirable than it was even 2 years ago. So now that Amazon is going to, if Amazon decides to get into the game, I think it could oversaturate the market share even more than it has. Mm-hmm. And potentially, I guess, maybe ruin the appeal, and then also then just kind of ruin the athleisure trend.
And you like this athleisure trend.
I love the athleisure trend. I think it's great. And I guess I just think Amazon should just stay out of it.
Okay. All right. Hey, we're all about our own personal takes on this show. Yeah. I think Chipotle is the greatest restaurant in the world.
Yeah, I guess.
Not a ton of people agree with me on that.
But also, I mean, okay. So back to Lululemon. I mean, if Amazon gets into the yoga pants, they're probably going to be a lot cheaper than Lulu's
pants.
That's
what I'm saying. I'm thinking they're targeting more of the people who are going to like Walmart to get their yoga pants.
Okay. But when you go to Walmart to buy your leggings, you're going to spend $20. You might wear them three or four times before they get a hole. Wash them a few times. Yeah. Throw them away. You go to Lulu. You spend $100. You wear them and you wash them 20 times, 30 times. You have them up to a year, 2 years, the same pair.
Yeah.
And think of how many times you spend $20 and buy the same pair of Walmart leggings. I mean, that's...
I agree. I think that point is more a commentary to consumer behavior than it is to what Amazon should and shouldn't be doing. But I definitely see what you're saying there.
Also, if Amazon can have the manpower, which I wouldn't put it past Jeff Bezos, to go in and swipe, like literally like swipe from Dora, the chief, like the executives.
Did you just make a Dora the Explorer reference?
The design executives from Lulu and Nike and Athleta.
Or just take all of American Apparel's stuff.
Oh, their leggings are horrible. So don't do that. From those three, and like take like what like their knowledge between like yoga wear, then they might have
then
a fighting
chance. Something. Okay.
But anyways,
so you're concerned about the product isn't going to necessarily be that great.
Because I have like I 100% know
confidence.
It won't.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Good. That was a lot. I just learned so much more about the yoga pants business than I ever probably needed to know or thought I would ever know. But okay, Kohl's and Macy's struggled this week.
Oh, they struggled so badly.
How bad were their holiday sales?
They definitely could have been better. But interestingly, their comps for November and December combined were the same. So they both dropped 2.1%. But Kohl's took it a little bit harder. So their stock dropped 20% on Thursday. I think Macy's was down around 15%, like, for the day.
Uh-huh. Not good.
Not good. But Macy's also announced store closings, almost 70, so like 63, and 10,000 jobs as a result.
Okay. That's not good.
That's not good.
No. So, I mean, it's tough not to just immediately jump to, like, Amazon's winning. But in some way, this has to be a result of people going online more.
Online more. And yes, so Macy's online sales, really good throughout the holiday season, especially on Black Friday. Same with Kohl's. They both did really well on Black Friday and, like, the week before Christmas. They both did really well.
Hot take, Black Friday's dead.
Oh, wow. Well,
people don't. I don't think people are interested in going to stores for Black Friday sales anymore.
The day after, did you shop the day after Christmas?
No, but I have.
Because those were some major sales going on then.
Black Friday's dead.
Anyways,
we'll talk about that next November. Black Friday's dead.
But yeah, everyone's going online,
and so everyone's going online. And part of the kind of announced responses to this is that both companies are going to be focusing more on e-commerce. Part of the Macy's job cuts were from already announced, part of an already announced plan.
Last August,
will shift their focus more towards online. And Kohl's has actively been, I think, trying to boost their e-commerce.
Yeah, like they launched a mobile app. They tried to actually sell the Apple Watch, but that didn't really help. It's because no one really wants the Apple Watch.
Another hot take.
What do I know? They are also trying to have a bigger push in athleisure.
Interesting.
Yes. And
it all comes full circle.
Full circle. And using its stores to help fill online shopping orders, which that's a huge deal. I know when I worked at Banana Republic a few years ago, that was a big part of our day-to-day business.
Okay, cool. All right, so bad week for Kohl's and Macy's, for sure. Bad news in the holiday sales realm of things for them. As I said, Amazon just nail in the coffining. That's a verb now. The rest of the retail industry. Somebody else who's been, you know, struggling. Struggling almost seems too relaxed. Doing horribly. on the brink of bankruptcy, people have been talking about for a long time now. Sears, what was once the pinnacle of American retail, is now a shadow of what it once was.
Oh, that was poetic.
That's kind of stolen from a Chance the Rapper lyric, so I can't entirely take credit for that. But anyway, so Sears putting a little bandage on the wound this week, announced a few different measures. They're going to be closing 150 of their most non-profitable stores, including 108 Kmart locations. And they're also selling their Craftsman tool line. So for those of the people who are thinking, how is Sears still alive? I haven't been to a Sears in a decade. Every time I go in there, it seems like a ghost town, which is my experience with Sears. How have they been able to survive? Well, one of the things that they have been able to maintain was this Craftsman brand of tools. As you know, Sears kind of started as kind of a hardware, more hardware focused, an unsuccessful shift. It has been to more of a retail department store. They're getting rid of the Craftsman brand. I think not because they hate it, but because they need to raise some cash quickly. So they are selling Craftsman to Stanley Black & Decker for what is it could be worth up to $900 million. It's not $900 upfront cash, but it's including future royalty payments will be worth up to $900 million.
My eyebrows just shot up. I did not realize the worth of Craftsman tools.
Yeah, and this is definitely not the first time that someone has tried to come after Craftsman. Sears, although, was only recently open to selling Craftsman. I think they announced in August that it was up for sale to the best bidder. The announcement of the sale of Craftsman happened on Thursday. The stock popped about 5%. the announcement about shuttering 150 stores came Tuesday. Tuesday also had a little bit of news that they had received another $500 million in loan agreements from, I believe it's called ESL Investments. It is the private hedge fund that is run by Sprint's CEO or Sears' CEO. So kind of CEO giving his own company money. It's really interesting. It hasn't been great for Sears. Long story short, and those investors that have been following Sears are already well versed in their pain. It's nice to see the stock move a little bit, but it is, you know, because of that Craftsman sale. So going through changes, and it'll be interesting to see if they are able to survive 2017, which sounds dramatic, but I think is a fair assessment. So that's about it this week. This turned into more of a, I thought we were talking Amazon takes over retail. It was more of a, like, everything you need to know about athleisure, which is great. Like, I'm happy that maybe we'll do a full athleisure blowout special episode one week, and we can go through all of the brands.
I tell you, if Amazon can take over athleisure, then Amazon can conquer Ulta, and then the world is over. I'm done. I give up.
And then we must surrender to our Amazon overlords.
I give up.
Interesting. I don't know. It's kind of exciting. I would drive an Amazon car, and
I mean, I would buy
use Amazon shampoo.
I would buy Lulu through Amazon.
Okay.
Like, if Amazon would partnership through Lulu, if I could get free 2-day Prime shipping and get my Lulu yoga pants, I would be down. But I would not buy Amazon branded yoga pants ever.
You should write an email, a strongly worded email. Okay, that's all we have for this week. Thank you, as always, for joining us. You can find us on zax.com/podcast. Find all our other audio content on there as well. All of the links to the accompanying articles, full details from all the stories we covered this week, will be in the article attached to this podcast. Find more information there. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next week.